Shalom, everybody. Good to be here among your old friends. The evening marking the 10th anniversary of the Shiurim. It's an opportunity to thank Boris Kelman, who was. He's the Mishadina, who believes that we'll have a Shiur. And I want to thank the management of Beit Avichai agreeing to be the hosting of the Shiurim. I remember the first Shiurim, Mrs. Bernstein and Mr. Fried. Attended and supported, so I want to thank them too. I don't know if they're hearing me, but I'm thanking them, okay? And then with my cousin's permission, Reb Chaim is my cousin, and I would like to make three remarks regarding things that, ideas that Reb Chaim has mentioned. First, I want to explain why, as he mentioned from his father, my uncle, Reb Aaron HaLevi Soloveitchik, the Shiur was so central in the world of the Briskers. It's a very simple reason. Because the process of learning Torah has two stages. One stage is acquiring the knowledge, but the more central stage is processing the knowledge, and through the knowledge, noticing, realizing the concepts which are hidden within the Torah, the mysteries of the Torah. And when you learn alone, you learn the Chavrusa, you more acquire the knowledge. You read the Gemara, you read the Rishonim. But where do you put it together? Where do you conceptualize? Where do you put the ideas together? That usually happens in the Shiur. Now, I can tell you over many times as a Magid Shiur, the ideas are not clear to me until I don't present them in the Shiur. So the Shiur is not only for those who come to listen to it, but it's also for the Magid Shiur to put together his ideas, and that's the way I experience the importance of a Shiur. Second, I would like to end the story about your father and Rav Yishai David. Can I tell the end? Okay? This is very beautiful, the end. I heard it from Rav Yishai David too. The next day, Rav Yishai came to Yeshiva. Again, he wanted to play basketball. And again, he saw Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, not knowing who he is. And he said, oh, today we won't be the Shiur and Shomer Chinuch and Shomer Sachar. I can just leave my bag and go play. And when he's stepping over to Rav Aaron, somebody stops him and says to him, you know who that is? Are you crazy? They ask you the Rosh Hashiva to watch your bag? So, what can you do? We found somebody else. In the afternoon, they're walking down the hall, and then Rav Aaron saw Rav Yishai with him in high school, walking down the hallway. So he called him over and said to him, why did you bring me your bag today? I expected you to bring it again. Why didn't you do a good job yesterday? Many times I quote that when I do things, and people say to me, you? I say, well, I'm not doing a good job, you know, but you don't trust me. And I want to add a third thing regarding the idea of Chaim said at the end of the Shiur about Noi Dorash Nor Mekayim. In Hebrew, the word Darash, the Shorash, the root, Darash, has two meanings. One meaning is we say Darash Et, that is really means to search. And when you Doresh Apsukim, you give a Drosha, you look for meaning, you look for new meaning within the text. But it also means Doresh Me, it means also to demand. And when Chazal say, yesh noe dorish, noe mekayim, what they mean is that he gives a good drasha when he's dorish the psukim, but he demands from himself to live up to the ideas that he teaches others. And then it's a Torah's emes. And it's the schus we learn from Talmidei Chachamim, who are noe dorish and noe mekayim, because then the words that they say are true words. Now I would, that's the end of my share, but not to come. Okay. But I would like to discuss, since Reb Chaim spoke about Talmud Torah, I would like to talk about Achnasat Orchim. We are now on the Thursday of Shabbat Chayei Sara, after we learned last Shabbat, Parashat Vayera, where we read how Avraham Avinu was Machnis Orchim. And we see in our Parsha that when the Eved, when Eliezer, goes to Haran, looking for a wife who would be proper for Yitzhak Avinu, many, many miles far away from that house, the test that he makes to her is, can she be a Machnis Orchim too? How does she treat guests? Will she offer him water and also for his camels or not? And it would seem that a condition to enter, to join the home of Avraham Avinu is if you're able to accept upon yourself the mitzvah of Machnis Orchim. The same way I'll add, that when you learn Seder Agir, that was one of the first shurim I gave here. Anybody remember? Anyways, you do. Okay. We discussed, what do you teach a ger? What do you... You can't teach him also Shulchan Aruch. So what do you teach him? So Gemara said, you teach him miktat mitzvot kalot, miktat mitzvot chamorot, The Rambam adds, you teach him also Ikrei Adat, you teach him the rule of Jewish philosophy. The Rambam says, Ma'arichin v'davar hazeh, doesn't appear in the Gemara. But then the Gemara specifies, what do you teach him? You teach him Avon Leket Shicha Ma'aser Mani. You teach him the mitzvah of Tzedakah. And it would seem, because it's conditional to be Jewish, to accept upon yourself Milus Chesed, help others, give charity. So maybe a guy doesn't know all the mitzvahs, maybe it'll turn out one of the mitzvahs we didn't teach him, because we only taught him miksat mitzvot, only some of them. Maybe he won't like one of them. You know what? Even if he won't observe it, he could still be Jewish. But if he can't do chesed, if he cannot accept upon himself charity, he cannot join Avraham Avinu's children, because Avraham Avinu resembles the chesed. If you take the Mitzvah Yaakov, Chesed l'Avraham, and the Chesed, as we see in our parasha, is Achnas Sarchem. And if we go back to last week's parasha, to Vayera, we see the Chazal thought it's not enough to have the first description of Avraham Avinu being Machmir Sarchem, being of the parasha, but you have to find it another place in the parasha, on the Pasuk, which is a very strange Pasuk. Vayta Eshel b'Be'er Shava, Vayikra Sham v'Shem Hashem El Olam. So what is this Eshel? And how is that linked to the second half of the Pasuk? How do you call God's name in the world because you plant? It's not very clear. So Rashi there brings two opinions, which I really want. One is if you say the Hebrew root, Nata, planting, so it means a tree. So Avraham Avinu planted trees. The other opinion he gives that he built a motel. Hotel, because there's food there too, okay? And you can also plant a tent. And Rashi brings sukkim that show that in the biblical Hebrew, the root, nata, can also refer to building a building. And why is this so, says Rashi? Because he wanted to be able to supply food for the Ovrei Drachim, for those who pass by in the desert. And through that, he was Korei B'Shem Hashem El Olam. What does it mean? When they would eat, Rashi quotes your Gemara and Sultan, Dafyud, it's a little bit more expanded in the Medrash, in Gracious Rabbah, you read Kosu Chachamim, so maybe you're familiar. You ever read Kosu Chachamim? No? It's in Hebrew, I know. But when you read bedtime stories, okay. So the story goes that Avraham Avinu would give them a meal. At the end of the meal, he would say, thank who gave you the meal. So they would say, thank you, Avraham Avinu. No. It's not me. It's the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Thank the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So they would say, we never heard of him. Who is he? We know you. You gave us the meal. You don't see him. So he would say, no problem. Okay, let's see how much this meal costs. And he would take out his calculator and he would say, you ate green wine. Wine is 100 shekel. Meat is 150 shekel. And they would turn pale. They would say, it's so expensive. He says, look, we're in the desert. What do you think? In the desert, wine is cheap. Meat is cheap. It's very, very expensive. So they would turn to him and say, remind us, who was that you said? So he would say, the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then he would teach them to bless the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's how the Machnis Orchim is Vayikra Sham Hashem Hashem El Olam. That's what the Medrash says. It would seem, why does the Medrash see it so important? I think for a very simple reason. The reason is that the Torah really tells us about great episodes in the lives of the heroes of the Tanakh, but doesn't record their daily life. What an average day in Avraham Avinu's life look like? Do we know? Not really. What do you do all day? So we know he learned Torah all day, right? But apparently he did more things, right? What did he do? Now, describing the Eshel, it's not only giving us a special episode, an unusual event, a special guest, that something very dramatic happened there, but it really shows us that it's something which is inherited, it's part of Avraham Avinu's schedule, it's part of his life. Let's think a moment at that Eshel. What was the menu he gave them? So the Medrash I quoted before, you saw he didn't serve them fruit, right? Can you serve fruit? Can you plant fruit trees in the desert? Not really. Okay. Now, what menu does he give the guests at the beginning of the parsha? He gives them meat and milk. He gives them bread. And he gives them butter. No fruit, right? I think it's very simple. I don't think that the Medrash actually says that he planted trees and gave fruit. But what the trees resemble trees are, you plant them and they give fruit every year, regularly. In other words, when you plant a tree, it's something you're talking about, Beit Avichai and Keren Avichai, okay, you build a fund, and you spend the money of the fund, that's what Keren Avichai is doing, right? You're losing your job soon, right? Okay, if anybody, he's very good, if everybody wants to hire him, okay? But most people, when they make a fund, they decide to have it put in the bank, invest it, and from the
interest,
right? Thank you. I prefer I don't know English. Okay? And from the interest, so a tree has interest. It means it was something which Abraham Avinu did systematically. He made sure it's going to work all year after year after year. So it's an integral part of his life. But I'd like to understand why is this like so integral to Abraham Avinu's life. And I would like to relate, with your permission, to the Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, which I hope you're familiar with, and also that you ask yourself, what does it mean? Well, the Pesukim say, Vayera elav Hashem ve'elonei mamre'e guri yoshev petach ha'oel kechom hayom. This is a very unusual Pesuk. Because it says many times, go to Parshas Vayera, Lech Lecha, because Baruch Hu reveals himself to Avraham Avinu. Vayera elav Hashem. But then what does it say? Vayomer elav. He reveals himself, and the Torah tells us what he tells him. But Uvir doesn't say what he told him. And then what? And then he goes to the guest. So it really would seem that there's some new stage here, maybe after the Bris Milah, and the intimacy between Avraham Avinu and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The purpose of the revelation is to be together. That's the purpose of the revelation. Nothing functional, nothing teaching or anything, but because they're close. In the words of Chazal, we'll relate to them now, it's called Kabbalat Pnei Ashkina. The Shir is also a type of Kabbalat Pnei Ashkina, because when you learn the words of the Torah, you basically meet the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why learning Shomrin is something which is religious. It's knowing the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know his wisdom. And then the pasuk continues, he sees these three gentlemen. Who are these gentlemen? So Rashi tells us there, well, Rashi says three Shmaelim. Obviously they cannot be three Shmaelim. Yishmael then is 13 years old, right? But it means Bedouins, okay? The Shmaelim of Rashi's time. And then he says, he turns and what does he say? Now, who is he turning to? So Rashi brings some Chazal, more in Shabbos and Kuf Chaz Nayin, that he's turning to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What is he saying to the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Please excuse me, but I'm busy now. It's very nice you came to visit me, but you know, I have these three people here, these three Bedouins, so please, wait. You know, want to read the newspaper in the meantime? I'll take care of them, and I'll come back to you, but please wait. And the words of Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says, Gadol hachnasat orchim mikabalat pnei ashkina. But when you think about it, what does it mean? Can you imagine this at your table, you know, you're eating dinner, and your children are by you, and suddenly he looks at his phone, and he says, oh, a very important WhatsApp message, you know, I'm sorry, you know, excuse me, did you get annoyed at him or her? Did you do it yourself? You do it yourself, so why are you angry at them? Don't do it yourself, and maybe they won't do it also, you know, but what does it mean? So the Netziv, in Perish Hamik Davar, in Bamidbar, not here, I don't know why he didn't write it here, but he writes it in Parshat Tzitzis. And the team says, obviously, it's not that we're making a competition and contrasting Kabbalat Pnei Ashkina, Tafnasat Orchim, and saying, this is more important than that. So obviously, the highlight of our lives should be Kabbalat Pnei Ashkina. It can't be something that's more important than that. What it means is something different than when you are Mikadal Pnei Ashkina, and then you have the opportunity to be Machnis Orchim. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go be machnis orchim, even though Kabbalat Pnei Ashkina is really more important. It's a higher goal to aspire at, but you really have to stop and be machnis orchim. And the obvious question is why? And I think the reason is very simple. And when we explore the reason, we can really understand why Achnasat Orchim is so central in the life of Avraham Avinu. Why is that basically conditional to being Jewish? Achnasat Orchim, Chesed. For a very simple reason. What is the source? Who taught us we have to keep Chesed? How do we know that? So the Rambam in Chot Avel, the end of Mishneh Torah, the Rambam says that there are many mitzvot midrabanan. Midrabban is a mitzvah to be machnis orchim, bikur cholim, havala tameh, go to funerals, to help others. And the Rambam says, even though they're all drabbanan, it doesn't say in the Torah any place that be machnis orchim, doesn't say in the Torah that you should go to funerals, doesn't say be bikur cholim, but they're all part of the greater mitzvah, which is specified in the Torah, which is basically a general mitzvah, which doesn't, the Torah doesn't say how you apply it, and that is after the Recha Kamocha. We want others to help us, so we help others. When we go to Gemara and Sota, which is the basis of the Rambam in Hilchot Deot, where the Rambam describes Avraham Avinu, we learn from the Gemara there. My father, Olav Hashalom, wrote an essay on Chesed where he emphasized these two sources of Yidur Chesed. We learn there that it's rooted in the commitment of Himatat Yodei. The Gemara said, to imitate the ways of God. Okay, I'm sorry, it was in Latin. I'm sorry. It's in Hebrew. Balachta vidrachav. Okay, now everybody understands. But it's to imitate the ways of God. The Gemara there says, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Telecho. Michi Adam Yechol Alech Acharei Shechina. Well, can somebody go and be close to the Shechina? It says, Hashem Elokeicha Esh Ochlo. So the Gemara says, Ella, with your permission, when people ask Rav Chaim, you can ask me then, okay? After this year, okay? With permission, okay? Have I got my permission? Yes, with your permission. I'll give you this year, okay. So the Gemara says, Elama, you have to go after the ways of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then the Gemara says the following, Mahu Malbish Arumim, how do we know the Kodesh Baruch Hu dresses those who are naked with no clothing? Because it says in Bereshit Gimel, in Gan Eden, Vayas Hashem Elokim Lahem Kotznot Or Vayal Vishem. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu saw that they're embarrassed having no clothing, so he made them clothing. The Gemara says, Ma Kodesh Baruch Hu Mevaker Cholim. How do we know it's Mevaker Cholim? Vayer, he came from Bikur Cholim. Zachlaka Mevaker Cholim. The Gemara says, Ma Kodesh Baruch Hu Kover Meitim. How do we know Kodesh Baruch Hu buries the dead? It says, by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Kvo Oto Bagai. So therefore, the Gemara says, you too have to do that. So when a person is Gomel Chesed, he's imitating the ways of God, because Kodesh Baruch Hu is Rav Chesed. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu has taught us in his ways, taught us the Midah of Chesed. So when we do Chesed, we imitate the ways of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You know, Rav Chaim Brisker and his Matzeva, the family wrote, he was Rav Chesed. And there are amazing stories about the Midah of Chesed that Rav Chaim had. It's almost not human. You know, the Chesed that he had, how he helped others who were in need, being non-judgmental of other people. Even if they sinned, he would help them because he saw human suffering. And this is part of religiosity, is how you treat other people. And the Rambam in Chot Deot, the end of the first parak, the Rambam says, you know who discovered in Yetzirat Yodei? Who discovered the Kodesh Baruch Hu's ways? The first one in history to discover them was Avraham Avinu. The Rambam says that in Parshas Vayera, the Kodesh Baruch Hu describes Avraham Avinu ki yudatim l'man asher yitzaved banav et beito achalam. I know that he will transmit his traditions to the next generation. V'shamru derech Hashem la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat. What is derech Hashem? What is this way of God, path of God? Says the Rambam, the path of God is Mahu Rachum Af Ata Rachum, Mahu Chanun Af Ata Chanun. The Midah of mercy is what Avraham Avinu has discovered. And how did he discover it? Through recognizing God, because he recognized that God has Midah Sachesed. Now, perhaps we don't notice this. Many of us are people who eat at our tables. We don't think perhaps that Nasat Orchim is so unusual, right? But the truth is, if you want to understand that Avraham Avinu has some real message to the world, we have to just look around Sefer Bereishit and look how people treat strangers in Sefer Bereishit. You have to realize, when you're in a strange place, you're really helpless. You're not familiar with the rules. who's going to protect you? You're afraid perhaps of the authorities there, of other people. Let's look and say for Bereshit a little, how people treat strangers, people they don't know. Avraham Avinu comes to Egypt, passport control. I'm sure you've been through passport control many times, right? You ever afraid? Did your heart beat? Avraham Avinu was convinced that what are they going to do to him in passport control? They're going to execute him. They'll take his wife and kill him. You think it's only in Egypt? Wrong. Where else does it happen? Goes to Gerar. He's afraid of the same thing. Not only he's afraid of that, his son is afraid of that too. Apparently, those are the rules in that time. You, a stranger comes to a new city. The rule is this. What is he like in his suitcase? You know, customs is not to check if you brought in a video. I don't know. Or in America, but in orange, okay? It's, you see, what can I take from your suitcase? What do I like here, you know? No, it's only them. Yaakov Avinu comes to Haran. He doesn't know the rules. What do? They fool him. What does his father-in-law say to him? Lo yastechem bimkomeo. You don't know the rules, so I fooled you, you know. Yosef's brothers comes to Egypt. Yosef also, doesn't, it's not too nice to him, you know. But when you mention Sodom, strangers come to Sodom, what do? They want to kill them, they want to abuse them sexually. I mean, you have to see what they want to do there, you know. I'll say something about Sodom. Sodom is not only that they are not machlis orchim, there's a rule that nobody can be machlis orchim in Sodom. Meaning, if some family there, they learned it from Avraham Avinu, a machlis orchim, so what do the Sodomites do? They gather around those houses and they want to kill them. I mean, suddenly you realize that in the culture that's reflected in Sefer Bereishit. I didn't go now to learn Near Eastern cultures from their sources. You can do that too. But just reading Sefer Bereishit, what do I realize? That the culture, the civilization that's described there of those times, people are cruel to strangers, to those who are weak. That's why Galut Mechaperet. You know, what does Galut Mechaperet mean? When you leave your familiar surroundings, you feel uncomfortable. My father once wrote me that Reb Chaim Volozhiner once said it's enough to go to another neighborhood in the same city and then galut mechaperet. It happens in my city all the time. In my neighborhood, oh, the rabbi, wow, the rabbi. Then I just cross the street, go to the shtibel of the chassidim, and I'm a tzioni there, and we won't even know leader. You know, who are you? You know, it's good for you to know who you really are, but because they're right, you know. But all sacred precious is full of that. There's only one person. Avraham Avinu, who when he sees strangers, what does he do? He helps them. And who are these strangers? Three Bedouins. What do they have on their feet, according to Rashi? He thinks the idolaters and the dust on their feet they want to bow to. So he brings them water, you know, only a little water. Okay? He wasn't too machmir, they have to wash it out. But he let them into his house and he gave them a free meal. Let's go back to the Medrash. You know, that big menu that he, the bill that he brings, that's what the other cultures have done. And Avraham Avinu, he does the opposite. What Avraham Avinu does is he teaches us the Midas HaChesed. And if we now return to why is Gdol Achnosos Orchim Yoter Mikabalat Pnei Hashchina? Even though what the Yitziv says is obviously true, obviously the highlight is Kabbalat Pnei Hashchina. It's very simple. What does it mean to be Kabbalat Pnei Hashchina? Does it mean you focus on your mystical experiences and your closeness to the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Or does it mean that you show the Kadosh Baruch Hu that you learn from Him and you act like Him? I mean, I want to go back to our children at the table with the phone, okay? The biggest nachas that we can have from our children, it's not if they pay us back, but if we see them being with values and applying the same values in their own lives. I once heard a drasha from my brother of Moshe, which I was very impressed. It was one of his daughters was born. And he talked about how do you pay back your debt to your parents. So obviously, it could be also when your parents get old, they need help, so you help them back. But he was then younger, my parents were also younger then. And I remember him saying, I'm paying them back not by when they'll be old, they'll help them. But by me seeing how devoted they were as parents, by me also wanting to be a parent and being so devoted to my children too. I mean, the best way to be a couple of somebody, to show them that we're close, is not only to be together and talk and look in the eye, but it's to show him that I accepted your ways. Let's go back now to this episode. Avram is in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's Kabbalah's Pnei Hashkina. So what does Avram Avinu do? He turns to Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, look, you're a Rav Chesed. I'm also a Rav Chesed. I learned from you to do Chesed. I'm going to do Chesed now. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to pause and let Avram Avinu go do that Chesed. That's why, as Nitziv teaches us, when you Mekabel Pnei Hashkina, what you have to do is act like the Shechina. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Yud, says that Rav Yosef, before davening, what would he do? He would give a pruta to an ani. He would give tzedakah. Many people do that today in Shul, when they read Vayivarech David, somebody goes around with a pushka, they go up to the bima, and they put a little tzedakah in the bima, because when you want to daven, you give tzedakah, and Rav Yosef says, the pasuk that he learned that from is the pasuk Vani betzedek echazeh panecha, in which he interpreted, when I will do tzedakah, then I can see your face. Meaning, the ticket, the entrance ticket, to be in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving tzedakah. Why is that so? So it's for the same reason. It's very simple. You want to get close to the Kadosh Baruch Hu? So how do you get close to the Kadosh Baruch Hu? By acting like the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you do chesed, so the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're welcome into my karda, so talk to me. I want to tell you, I was sharing with you a Mishnah Berurah that I saw this year. I was very moved, but I almost cried when I saw it. You know, this year my Shabbos Chuvah Drasha, and I was talking a lot of Yom Kippur also with my congregates in my shul about the special Mechila bin Adam Lachaver you have to do before Yom Kippur. I gave a shir about it here once too, I think, Baruch, right? Whatever, I don't remember. My computer remembers. But what I noticed this year is something very simple. The main thing is not to ask for mechila. The main thing is, somebody offended you, is to forgive him. Part of the mitzvah of Yom Kippur is to forgive, not only to ask for forgiveness. How do I know that? Because the Gemara says, if you ask somebody three times for mechila, it doesn't forgive you. So it's his sin. And as Rav Huttner pointed out, it doesn't appear in the Ben Adam Lecher, it's only on Yom Kippur. Meaning, Yom Kippur we expect it to forgive. Now why is that so? So the Mishnah Berurah says something beautiful. The Mishnah Berurah says, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu will treat us the way we treat others. What do we do on Yom Kippur? He turns to the Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, Slach lanu, slach lanu. What does he say? What about you? Do you forgive others? If you forgive others, I'll forgive you. And then in Shara Tzi, you know, down the little letters, where nobody, maybe you can miss it, you know? So he says the following, the Mishnah Berurah. The more you will forgive others, the more the Kadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you. So if you will forgive somebody who hurt you, b'mezid, you know how hard that is? Somebody who intentionally went and insulted you and hurt you. But if you'll forgive him, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you too for your mezid. And if you only will forgive people for shogeg, so the Kadosh Baruch Hu will say, okay, so you get shogeg too. Meaning that the way to approach the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the way we live, the way we behave. It's not just to go into his room. It's the way our lives are. And what Avraham Avinu really taught us is to apply the Derech Hashem in our lives, to make them part of our lives. But this is why the Rambam brings in Hilchot Matnot Aniyim the following statement. The Rambam says, it's based upon the Sefer Peah, that Kol Ma'alim Einav Min Hatzedakah. If somebody sees somebody who's at need, he doesn't help him. So the Rambam says, Nikra Blial, because the Blas Blial, he's a very wicked and nasty person. The Torah says, about a person who doesn't give tzedakah, he sees a poor man who wants a loan before Shemitah, and he's afraid of the Shemitah tzedakah, that he won't get back his money, so he doesn't help him. So the Torah says, Hishamar lecha penyeh in levavcha davar bliyal lemor karvash nat hasheva. But then the word bliyal appears only one more time in the Torah. You know where? But you're any dachat. So the Rambam says, Malim eimav min hatzedakah ke'ilo oved avodah zarah. What does that mean? Is this to tell us that, you know, it's very bad not to give tzedakah? I think it's much more than that. I think it's very simple. How do we know to give tzedakah? We learn it from the Midas HaChesed. We learn from the Derech Hashem, from Yinatat Yodei. So if a person doesn't give tzedakah, obviously what does it mean? Pull the math. You don't know the Hashem. You don't know the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you don't know the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is in modern Hebrew, you're an Ovid Avodah Zarah. That's why it's conditional to be in Avraham Avinu's nation. The condition is to give tzedakah. It's conditional. Meaning, your knowledge of God is we can test it, not through how much you chuckle during davening and how much you cry and scream to Kodesh Baruch Hu, but how you treat other people. Now, with your permission, I want to add another comment. And that is, I'm a little concerned, bothered, by that medrash I brought for you from Kosu Chachameh. What are you laughing? Like it, you know, but it bothers me a little. What is that, mutilation? You know, Avraham Avinu tells them, okay, it's going to cost you 500 shekel. And it's, okay, we'll do whatever you want. I mean, is that so? So I think no. And I want to explain why not, and maybe we can learn from that something for ourselves too. With that, I will conclude. No, 2 minutes. Okay, I'll do it. Okay. I don't think that he just threatened them that it will cost them a lot of money, but basically he caused them to realize that there's a person here who's being machmis orchim. That's what he caused them to realize, right? Well, it's a shuri. They never heard of that. They really never heard of it. But he showed them that he means it. And they said, whoever in the world taught you this crazy idea to give free food for free? So the answer is, I learned it from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if that's so, subvention. Meaning it's something which is integrally part of the message. But if we go back to the first Achnasas Orchim in the Parsha, what do we realize? Nothing of that is mentioned there. All we see is these three, Yishma'elim. Because if you mock these Orchim because you want to force them to take a lesson and learn, then it's not working, it's fake. How do you do Chesed? Because you really, all you want to do is focus on Chesed. After you truly do Chesed, what can you do? People will look at you and be so impressed. What will they say? Wow, I want to learn from this gentleman. What a lesson, you know, what a way of life. But if you bring in people, you know, and all you're busy is trying to make sure that the yarmulke in, it's fake. You're manipulating. But what Chazal already did is they wanted to tell us the way we live, the way we treat others. That is the Derech Hashem, and that's how we mekabel pnei Hashchina. Thank you very much.